This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
The Knave of Hearts, I've missed you.
The feeling is certainly not mutual.
Or rather, I've missed the money you owe me. I take it you've brought it to me. Or is the girl your form of payment?
Hey.
Actually, I came here hoping to make a deal. But the forget-me-not.
Greetings from Wonderland. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is the podcast you've earned. And we're also here to talk about Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. How are you doing, Anne-Marie?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent.
Yay, excellent.
Well, I guess we should, as we've been doing for these Wonderland episodes, we have a guest I would like to... Do you want me to introduce you as Jason George or JG? This is my old college roommate. I call him JG, but I don't know if he goes more exclusively by Jason now or not. He's all grown up now.
Depends on who's talking to me. Friends are JG's just fine, and new friends as well.
Okay. So we'll go with JG then. How you doing, JG?
I'm well. Really looking forward to the discussion. I've been looking forward to it all week long.
Yeah, and you guys don't have to worry. Just because he's my old college roommate, it's not going to be catch-up time, because we had a 45-minute conversation earlier today with catch-up time.
And it was excellent. It was excellent.
Definitely. Right back where we left off, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 20 years ago, however
long it was.
It was a long time.
Yes,
too long.
It's been a while.
It was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Known as West Liberty State College. Here's how things have changed. Now it's West Liberty University.
I know it upgraded.
Something like that.
It wasn't cool like that back then. Mm.
Yeah, but JG, you know, he follows us on the Facebooks and everything, and, you know, personally, as well as the podcast. And, you know, he's always there with a comment or something for whenever a new episode's released. So when we were trying to line up guests for the Wonderland podcast, it was a natural fit, and we finally got him. He's never done, like, even a Skype call before, so we finally got him a little bit into the 21st century.
I was going to say, welcome to 2013. This is what we do.
Just last week, I upgraded from a rotary phone. To give you an idea of how untech savvy I am, I refer to it as the Facebook.
It's the Facebook.
The kids in their Facebook these days. You whippersnappers. Yeah, exactly.
The grandparents in their Facebook.
Posting their selfies on the Facebook.
That's right. That's me.
Okay, well, I guess, you know, we're here to talk Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, so I guess we should get to it, which means, Anne-Marie, could you fill us in that wonderful rhyming episode summary, please?
Bear with me if I suck. I've only read it once.
Being a teacher, the key is to just remember to take your pauses at the punctuation. Sorry,
Thank you. That's okay, yes.
Yeah, JG is a teacher, so...
He'll be correcting our English the whole time. The Knave gets a backstory as a man who was merry. Alice fights two creatures. Both are quite hairy. As Scarlet the Knave steals for his lover, and that lover's identity is finally uncovered. Cyrus tricks the baddies, and their plan goes to pot. All in this week's episode, Forget Me Not.
So, a rough idea here. Anne-Marie, what did you think of the episode?
Best episode of the season.
I would have to agree with you. Why do you say that, though?
Well, there was a lot going on, a lot like I felt, again, kind of similar to how Once was this week. There was a lot of backstory, but a lot of pushing forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they, as a creative group, have finally been able to reach that balance of keeping the story moving while giving you the backstory you absolutely need to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Definitely. Okay. JG, what was it? Just, you know, off the top of your head, what was your initial impression of the episode?
The same as Emery's. I thought it was the best one yet. I thought it was a good mix of exposition and also some action and some stuff going on, you know, that moved the plot forward as opposed to just backstory. However, having said that, the backstory was pretty excellent. And
yes, definitely.
What I've known of Robin Hood's story is that the Will Scarlet character was always my favorite one.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was great. I thought it was very good.
Yeah, and I love that they're doing that old trope from the regular Once series of making, you know, some of the main characters like every character in fairy tales.
Exactly. Like the Rumpelstiltskin is the beast, for
and
instance.
The crocodile.
Exactly. That's perfect.
I'm surprised they didn't make. I was going to say I'm surprised they didn't make him Tinkerbell too.
Absolutely. But go ahead.
Yeah,
then people would be up in arms about that. You never know about
that. Of course.
You don't like that. Might have just been a little bit too far. Who knows?
A bridge too far. Okay, so one of the things that we should probably talk about is the big reveal at the end of the episode of who Anastasia actually was.
Amazing.
I just have written WTF ! Ad infinitum. But yeah, that was a pretty big reveal.
That was
it was. Now, having said that, I think that I'm pretty good at picking out things on these shows. And as soon as they showed her in the flashback in the bed, I thought, well, that's the queen. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I even told my wife that. I said, that's the queen. She's like, you think? I'm like, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it completely made sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
It completely made sense. And when I look back, I was like, why didn't I catch that? Because she even speaks.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe if something was blocking me from thinking that, it was maybe just the fact that she was hitting on Jafar last week. So it kind of, I kind of wasn't just expecting it from that angle. But I can totally – I mean, from the back, you could tell it was her on the second watch through.
Yeah.
The second watch through, you could definitely tell it was her. So I'm surprised I didn't pick up on that at first. Something that me and Anne-Marie have been talking about as we've been – you know, talking about the episodes, though, is how weird her performance as the queen has been. But I guess that's intentional because her performance as the Anastasia side of the character in this episode, I thought was really good.
Agreed. Agreed. Oh, yeah. And you know, and that's the thing about this show that I think makes it pretty spectacular. Both shows is the fact that you have these people that seem very vile. And very just horrid, you know, on the surface. But once you see what has happened to them in the past, you kind of understand. So what kind of tipped me off, though, and you know, with the fact that she was the queen, was Will Scarlet's lover, is the fact that the very first mention of the knave, you know, she has that look on her face.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's not necessarily an angered look. More of a, you know, like someone like put a dagger in her heart look, you know,
right,
like, you know,
just a bit of recognition. So. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one of the things I caught the first time around before we had the reveal. I was like, what is, but then again, the knave is supposed to be the queen's like right hand man.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So I was like, okay, so what angle is that coming from? Second walkthrough, it was definitely, you know, scorned lover.
Exactly. And that seems to be a pretty regular theme with the characters in the show, the scorned lover.
Yes. Now. Yeah. Well, I mean, when true love is as major a force as it is on this show or these shows, you know, you're going to have that. That's going to be the, you know, the antagonist to true love. Is love scorned.
Yes, and interestingly, it's what actually tends to push the characters over the edge into the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. The scorned lover. You know, they start out as these really, you know, loving characters, and they become vile, you know, people due to how they've been done by others. I think that's, and you know, that's interesting. You know, I find that very interesting.
Like, I love when he asks her if. If she's ready, and she said, what are we going to do when we get there? Basically, it says we can be whoever we want to be. Mm-hmm. So that almost leads me to believe she just wanted to be, I don't know, queenie, like, like right. She just wanted to like have the power that she obviously didn't have in the Enchanted Forest.
Well, do you think she was being manipulative to try and get there to get the power? Or do you think maybe it was just it really depends on what happens once they got there. But or was it a situation where she was going through with intentions? Because that's one of the things I noticed in her performance was just kind of like a doe-eyed innocence hopefulness like in her eyes. And so I'm wondering if maybe she made it to Wonderland and then got the hunger for power.
The greed. You know? I don't know.
Marie, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I could see a little of both. Mm-hmm. I could see a little, like, she was definitely very, you know, lovey. I would just want to be with you. But I don't know. I could see her, you know, she wants to be somebody different. And who is going to be more different than a poor chick in a cottage than a queen?
This is true.
I don't know.
I could see that. Or perhaps, you know, it was one of those things. I'm kind of guessing that he wronged her somehow. And that's what pushed mm-hmm. her towards the dark side. Sort of like Regina, you know. I mean, she started out mm-hmm. as kind of a decent person. But once, you know, she was pushed, and she might have that personality that it doesn't take a lot of pushing. So
right.
I'm yeah. thinking that he did something to scorn her. And I think he's the one that instigated her rise to power, as it were. That's what I believe.
Well, we did kind of get the impression last week that he's a bit of a how do I put this politely?
Ladies man?
Yes, a ladies man. I'll say that.
Right.
He's a bit of a scoundrel, a dog, if you will. So yes. I could definitely see that. But I mean, it's also a situation. I wonder if whatever happened with her is what turned him into that for a while anyway.
But exactly.
I guess we'll just have to hopefully I'm hoping, you know, well, obviously not next week because there is no episode next week because of Halloween, I guess. But if you didn't know out there, no episode next week. But the next episode, hopefully, we'll get a little bit more filled in on what happened once they got to Wonderland.
I think we will, based on the preview, but we'll discuss that later.
Definitely. One thing I will say, though, is however it came to an end, it was obviously a bad end. And that was probably, yes, I'm guessing, a curse put on the mirror by Maleficent after she found out that it was stolen, because she said that the mirror from that point on will only bring misery.
Right. Yes, so. Yes, she did. I forgot that line. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
although,
good point.
I don't think we have it in any of our main points here. We'll veer off for a second. But what did you guys think of the Maleficent thing? Because they kind of build that up like the creators and stuff were saying on Twitter, oh, Maleficent's going to be in the episode. And it was just like a voiceover. I don't think it was actually even the actress who played her on.
I don't think it was, but I wouldn't say that's the last time we've seen her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'll be back. She'll be back. But you know, I think that's typical of the show producers. You know, oh, check out this awesome character we're going to have, and it's just going to be in a mirror or something. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's typical. But I think all forms of entertainment do that to a degree. You know, whether it be a comic book or what have you. But
they have to tease it out and make it seem like the best thing ever, even if it's just
a cameo.
Okay.
A small right. cameo.
Exactly.
Well, I think it's also trying to build the crossovers. Like, I know it's a completely independent story, but the amount of crossover in everything is pretty.
Yeah, it was really nice to see Robin Hood.
I was going to say that myself. That's one of the things I look forward to the most, is to see how the show does crossover. I know it's going to be its own independent story, and that's great. But I really do love the characters from the main show, and I did love seeing Robin Hood in this episode for sure.
I just like that they made Robin Hood a main character in both episodes or both series this week.
Yeah, because
I think that helped them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, indeed. His character needs fleshed out a little bit more, too.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. We're not there yet.
So. Yeah, but we'll go ahead and address this a little more head on now. The Knave is also Will Scarlet, which I did a little bit of research into the character. By a little bit of research, I went to Wikipedia. But basically,
the other viewer that's not a hardcore Robin Hood fan went to Wikipedia this week.
Yeah. But
myself included.
Basically, Will Scarlet, he was sort of a well-to-do kind of guy. The person, I think it was his dad, was well-to-do, and he was benefiting from that. He was like a rich, spoiled brat kind of guy. His dad got into some trouble, said, go visit your uncle, Robin Hood. I think it was said it was his uncle. Or maybe that was just like Bob's your uncle kind of British thing. I'm not sure. But he shows up and he's like, hey, can I be in the Merry Men? And Robin Hood's like, yeah, sure, but change your name. And the guy picks Will Scarlet. And he was just kind of always around there in the background, you know, he would just get mentioned. Oh, and Will Scarlet opened the door for Robin Hood when he was on his way to something very important. And, you know, just random mentions like that. But I guess, JG, you reminded me in our conversation earlier, Christian Slater played him in the Prince of Thieves movie, right?
That's correct. And in fact, he and Kevin Costner were the two lead American actors. So I'm assuming that's why I got the pass for not using a British accent. But in a lot of the stories too, it said that he's supposed to be an outstanding swordsman and, or perhaps uses like daggers or something like this. And that was his weapon of choice in the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, the throwing knife or dagger, whatever you want to call it, I guess. And, in that movie, he was, Robin Hood's, bastard brother, basically, that his father had forsaken and doted on Robin Hood, you know, and Christian Slater knew that, and he fostered a lot of resentment toward Robin of Locksley and all that clan and all that stuff. But by the end, he redeems himself and becomes one of Robin's trusted merry men.
Well, unfortunately, that doesn't happen to our character in this
week's episode. Definitely not in our...
He kind of burns that bridge with Robin Hood there.
Right.
Yeah. But if you did notice, too, something that I think you'd mentioned a moment ago, and it was represented in the show, too, was Will Scarlet clearly looked out of place with those merry men.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, like, he was very finely dressed, kind of, you know, he was kind of like... In fact, the way he dressed kind of... went against where he lived, you know?
Seemed
like he was like the poor farm boy type, but he dresses like a dandy, not to be confused with Dandelion, you know? but, you know, he dressed like a dandy, and I thought that was interesting because, you know, that says a lot about a character, I think. You know, if you're supposed to be this poor guy who, you know, lives in a farmhouse, but you have the finest clothes, what does that say? I think you might be able to read a little something into that, you know?
True.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just overthinking it, but isn't that what you this can podcast never overthink is for?
That's what this podcast is about, is overthinking it, so it's fine.
Exactly.
You know, something kind of interesting, though, is that both characters who ended up in Storybrooke from Wonderland lived in, like, weird little shacks in the Enchanted Forest before they got transported to Wonderland, which is
I didn't even think of that.
Weird thing to bring up. But we were questioning the past couple weeks, you know, how the Knave got to Storybrooke. But I'm guessing, you know, because we weren't sure if he was a native of Wonderland or the Enchanted Forest. I guess this episode, if nothing else, told us definitely the Enchanted Forest is where he came from.
And
we also found out how he got to Wonderland, which is cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice.
Anne-Marie, you had... Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was actually going to throw to you for your point there.
The Looking Glass?
Yeah.
How the heck did he know it was Maleficent? Or that it would be at Maleficent's? Maybe this comes from us thinking he's probably a little more well off than he was letting on.
Mm-hmm.
But how did he know all of these details about Maleficent? He knew she'd be gone for a couple of days, and there's gold in the thing, and the, like... He went right for the Looking Glass.
Yeah, see, we never really got a clear idea, really, of how they hatched this plan, I think.
We didn't get anything of the plan. He just said, I need 8 guys, let's go.
But I mean, as far as his and Anastasia's plan to escape to Wonderland.
We'll have more backstory.
I mean, we got the motivation, we got the why, we didn't get the how, or, you know, how they... came to realize that was a realistic option.
That was a good end. Yeah.
How was he privy to all the knowledge of what Maleficent had in her castle? Sure. I didn't think of that either, but that's a good point, you know? Obviously, she had gold and all that stuff, and they would know that, but how would he know about the Looking Glass or that she was out of town, you know?
Right, exactly. I'm like, what'd you do, get an invitation to some sort of a thing out of town? Who knows? Also, who was the king? Was that King George?
I don't think that was one of the kings we've seen.
That's not a king we've seen?
Yeah, so I'm assuming probably it would be King John, maybe, you know, from the actual Robin Hood story, maybe.
That makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Right now they are in the Enchanted Forest and not Sherwood Forest, though. I'm guessing maybe Sherwood is like a suburb. Within the Enchanted Forest.
It's the forest across the lake.
Turn down this gravel road and you get to the Sherwood Forest.
No, actually, wasn't the Sheriff of Nottingham was in the original Robin Hood episode with the old Robin Hood, right? Because we called one of our episodes last season Sheriff of Nottingham, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
I don't know then. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only reason. Like, at first I was like, oh, are we finally going to bring King George in to actually do something on one of these shows? Because he just disappeared in Storybrooke.
Yeah.
Because he's there. Yeah. He can't get out.
Yeah, wasn't he like the prosecuting attorney or something weird
something
like that?
Something ridiculous, you know? Yeah. Something ridiculous. So, anyway, that was just a little sidebar I thought of while we were chatting.
I don't know. I think we can probably all agree, though, that as far as the series is concerned, that the Knave's where it's at. Mm-hmm. Like, he is the character to beat on this show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what's funny? The first set, I was like, I don't know how I feel about this guy. Like, I don't, like, is he going to be interesting? Is he, because he was just kind of mundane at first, but more the show progresses, the more he's awesome. Having said that, I think Jafar is awesome.
You like Jafar?
Oh,
I think this episode
gosh.
Was much
like,
better.
What a villain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a villain, and that staff is just awesome.
Actually, JJ, if you want to speak to that a little bit, just because, it's mainly been in reference to scenes he has with the Queen, but we've been a little haterade on Jafar overall. So go ahead and maybe speak a little to what you like about him.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you drinking the hater Jafar because he's the villain and you should for that reason?
You dropped out a little bit there. Start again.
Okay. Are you drinking the haterade on Jafar because he's the villain and you're supposed to hate him? Or is it there's something about the portrayal or the character itself that you just think is dull?
I think it was the portrayal for me.
Yeah, I think me too. I think it was just a matter of it felt a little bit off, especially from the sort of a charismatic manner I expect that character to be in from the Aladdin movie and everything. I think it just felt a little flat. It's getting better, but especially the first episode and to a degree the second episode. And it was mainly too in his interactions with the Red Queen, like some of the stuff, like when he was floating around on the magic carpet last week, he had the right presence, although it looked a little silly because of the CGI.
I agree,
but he had the right presence and everything going on there. And when he's separated from the Queen, like that intro scene from last week too, when it was back in Agrabah and everything, like
that was
like
awesome.
I really enjoyed that, but I don't know, it was just something, him playing off the Red Queen, it just didn't play right to me for some reason.
You know what? I think I might agree with that a little bit. I think the thing I like the most about Jafar, and this sounds really kind of crazy, but I can even elaborate on this a bit more.
Mm.
His costuming, his appearance, it's cool. Like the moment he comes on the screen, you know, this is the villain. And I think that that's one of the strengths of the show is the costuming. I was just remarking to my wife last week that did you ever notice the fairies, how awesome their costumes are? I mean, if you look closely, like, you know what I mean? If you look closely at them, you know, just the costuming is incredible. And I think that that's one thing I really like about Jafar, the presence of the character when he walks in. Mm-hmm. You know that the guy's bad. He's got this Darth Vader kind of air about him. Like, you know, this guy means business, right? The staff is awesome. Now, the thing that I don't like about Jafar is that, again, I kind of know what he's going to do 30 seconds before he does it. I'm like, okay, the Grendel, tell him what he wants to know, and he's just going to kill you. You know?
Right.
Yeah,
he kind of like rips evil, like he oozes evil, and there's something about that I kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
But I would agree with how the flatness of the scene at first with the Red Queen, you know, it kind of it's missing something, and I can't put my finger on what.
Yeah, same here. And I definitely agree too about you know the styling of him. I thought it was really good, especially considering I'm pretty sure he's the first character we've had on either of the one shows that has only appeared in a Disney movie before and has only had one interpretation for them to work from. And, you know, to have
that's
it,
right.
I mean, it doesn't feel quite like the Disney movie Jafar, but it feels like a really good adaptation of that character, as good as any other adaptation of any of the fairy tale characters that have had a million adaptations, you know? So,
right.
You know, really cool that they've done a good job on that, especially considering they only have one source to work from.
Exactly. And I might be slightly biased on the fact because I'm a big fan of the actor.
He was on Lost and everything, right?
Yeah, and that's one of my favorite shows ever, you know. In fact, that's I didn't even know that this had the same creators until I'm watching the first episode and I see an Apollo candy bar. And I was like, Jenny, did you see that? To my wife. And she goes, no, what was that? I said, go back. Remember the candy bars they ate? It was from Lost. And little things like that. I thought, and then McCutcheon whiskey after a while, you know, I thought that was really interesting. So I like that kind of thing. And
they love to do that type of stuff too.
And as a fan, I love looking for that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, I still need to go back and watch the rest of Lost sometime. I watched the first season and part of the second season, then I kind of fell off and I never caught up. And then I heard it got into like alternate dimensions and all this crazy stuff. And I was like, well, I need to devote 30 hours to catch up, and I just don't have it right now. And I still haven't found time.
The people were quite divided by how that show actually ended up. But I was a fan, you know. I mean, I thought it worked. I thought it made sense. And, you know, I'm just a fan of everything those guys do, it seems, you know.
Yeah, and I know even just being familiar with the first season, Once has a lot of the same kind of format as Lost, where, you know, in terms of like opening up mysteries and closing, like anytime they close a mystery, they open up four new mysteries in the same episode generally.
And they use the same, yes, and they use the same format of the flashback. Mm-hmm. You know, every episode focuses on a certain character and there's a flashback sequence of what, you know, led them to where they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they've used a lot of the same actors, you know, Hurley, what's his fate? King George was in Lost. You know, of course, Jafar, all these people. So
Emily DeRaven Bell was in too. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Emily DeRaven Bell.
So that really, you know, I think that's pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. So I like that a lot.
Definitely.
But Jafar is just getting back to him. I like the actor and I like the costuming and staff is awesome. I want one.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about it more in a little bit, but the preview for next week, so it looks like it's going to be a really strong Jafar episode too, so that should be good.
And okay, that might make him come around a bit to everybody that thinks he's a little weak right now.
Yeah, it's just right. It's just when you get him in the same room with the Red Queen for some reason.
I thought they were better this week. I know there wasn't a lot of interaction, but I wasn't completely bored and checking my phone, which may have happened last week.
I'm also wondering how I'm going to view the Red Queen next week now that I know. You know,
well, that's the point. Yeah.
Maybe I'll view her performance as the Red Queen a little differently too. But we'll
exactly because I was quite haterade on her Botox.
But you know, the Red Queen, derivative of the chessboard Botox, notwithstanding, derivative of the chessboard. And I thought that Cyrus this week and Alice last week were doing a really good job of playing chess, you know, like planning to move ahead. Last week, Alice did it with the lamp, saying that it was buried one place when it was actually buried someplace else. And then Cyrus did it this week with the whole what was it? Cumberbatch.
No, Bandersnatch.
Blabberbatch, something like that. No, but with the whole plan of, you know, telling them the Bandersnatch because he knew that Alice would know
exactly how to defeat him. It.
But I thought that was interesting that, you know, Red Queen being a character so associated with the chessboard and everything, that Cyrus and Alice are doing a really good job playing chess against her.
Right.
True.
Right. Very interesting. Mm.
That's good.
Very interesting.
I like it.
But something I did notice this week, too, is that the entire episode was predicated on an assumption that Alice made that didn't end up being true. You know, the whole reason they were going to get the forget-me-not was to go see who got the thing out of the hole because she figured that the person or the lamp out of the hole. What was it? And she figured that the person who got the lamp out of the hole
either had Cyrus or knew where Cyrus was.
Yeah, had right. Cyrus and knew who Cyrus was. When, yes, finding out who put the lamp or got the lamp from the hole gave them some new information, but it wasn't anything like she thought it was going to be.
Yes, it was. The Red Queen knows exactly where Cyrus is.
This is I don't know. I kind of. But not for the reason Alice thought, right? Because
sure.
I think she thought that You know, we can go ahead and leave that alone because I can tell I'm on my own, and I kind of have to get my reasoning. I was looking at an old note anyway.
So we'll go ahead. I think you're kind of thinking of it that she thought she would know who her villain would be by look, you know, and who, you know, and where to go, and the shock of the rabbit, you know.
Right.
I think is, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's something we should probably bring up too, because we've been talking a bit about, you know, the fact that she thinks the rabbit's her friend, and that was revealed this week that, or to her anyway, that the rabbit is not your friend.
Right, which I like because it sort of – Alice had a little bit more personality this week over her just, I'm going to find Cyrus, I love him. And that was pretty much her entire everything. Well, with this week, you know, getting pissed at the rabbit, for tricking her, lying to her when she thought he was her friend, which I didn't get that impression last week, but that's a whole different thing, seeing as how she left the rabbit.
I did find it interesting, too, that she was basically saying, you know, how could he do this? And the fact that with some casting news this week, a theory I had last week about the why might come a little more into focus. Right. Basically, I think the Red Queen is holding his family or at least his wife.
Mm-hmm. She's holding somebody.
That's a trope that's used quite often. She's got something on him.
Exactly.
You know, absolutely. Either family members or some kind of knowledge about something that he absolutely needs. You know, something like that. Because the rabbit doesn't come across as a selfishly motivated character. You know.
And I love his voice. If it was just his personal safety, then he would probably just go ahead and abandon his personal safety to help out his friend. He seems like that kind of guy. So it has to be something else.
Yeah.
Right.
But some of the other things that I thought were – I liked about her, which I like her character. I just am kind of a little bored with her. But like how she was rolling her eyes at the knave when they were at the house, and how she could tell that the caterpillar was lying and just straight up called him out on it. I liked those little like bits about her. They were something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is nice.
More to the character. And that could either be a little bit in the script – but it could also be a little bit on the actress too. I mean, exactly. You know, I think anybody would know who's kind of acting, even for a community theater, would know that, you know, the longer you play a role, you know, the more you find out about the role, as weird as that sounds. And I think that, you know, you get into it, you get into a groove, you start to understand your character's motivations more. I know that sounds cliche, but things like that, you know. And I think that maybe it's partially the script, partially the actress, you know, just getting into the role.
Yeah, and there's probably also the matter of they shot the pilot and then probably, 4, 5, 6 months later or whatever, came back and shot the rest of the episode. So there might have been they might have decided some things. The creators might have decided some things about the character in that intervening time. The actress is a different person, you know,
exactly.
6 months down the line. So you know, I have a feeling if we sat down and watched the first episode and then the other episodes again, we would see even a more marked difference than we saw just between watching the first episode and then watching the second episode the next week, you know.
Yep.
Just it feels like they're getting a lot more clarity in the vision for the show, which you know, hopefully
holds up.
Yeah, with the way the ratings have been going. But again, we'll talk about that in a little bit. One thing we also didn't have in our notes here that we should probably talk about is the caterpillar. The caterpillar was awesome, right?
He was fantastic.
I agree.
Yeah.
The kingpin of Wonderland crime and his disco opium den underneath the mushroom.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like the Osiris, the cantina, kind of like, you know, really the underbelly, the, you know, your
Underland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Underland. Yes. I mean, it was perfect.
Okay. And who was voicing it? Was it
Iggy Pop?
If I read the credits correctly, that's right.
Which he did a great job, just kind of that cool smoky voice like this. It was very.
The funny thing was, you would not, if you're familiar with Iggy Pop, you would not have thought that was him doing that voice.
Oh yeah, definitely. I wonder if they were doing some sort of like pitch shifting down of his voice too, because I can't imagine that voice coming out of his mouth. But
I know, right? That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, it was amazing. You know how like I'm like, wait a minute, that wasn't Iggy Pop. What? You know, I just know Iggy Pop to be a shirtless guy with a bunch of cuts that sings. You know. Nice. But yeah, I mean, it sounded pretty good.
Oh, definitely.
I'm very.
in that, like, one thing we should probably also mention is that last scene when Jafar comes in into the the disco opium den.
Yes.
I think we're definitely gonna see the Knave moving from someone who helps out Alice in her objective to being Alice's weakness and a bargaining chip and something they use against Alice. Here coming up in the future, which is interesting.
I was just going to say, I also expect a point in, the narrative where it's like, will the Knave betray Alice? And there'll be a big episode about that, He'll have some laid on the table,
Red Queen will try and seduce him back or something.
Yeah. I think that'll be an angle played, definitely.
I can definitely see that. Speaking of things that they sent after Alice, when they were looking through that book to find a monster to send after her, they mentioned, and Amory, you might not be as familiar with this as me and JG are, but they mentioned a monster called the Sarlacc that would spend 1,000 years digesting someone. Does that ring a bell to you at all, JG?
It certainly does. In fact, I was typing a text or an email or something at the time when that line was delivered, and I looked up, I was like, wait a minute, Star Wars reference, Sarlacc. I was like, wow, that's awesome. And Boba Fett, right. He gets thrown off the skiff into this pit of the Sarlacc. And it's interesting because I was actually reading, they say that it will digest you. He'll digest you in horrible pain for, 1,000 years or something like that. So I'm interested about the Sarlacc. So I looked it up and I thought, well, wait a minute, how's that possible? Wouldn't you just die? Well, according to what I've read in my Star Wars lore, because as you can tell, I'm a bit of a Star Wars nerd. I've already made a reference to Darth Vader and whatnot. Apparently, the Sarlacc has something in its digestive system that keeps you alive and just keep on digesting you.
So
it's supposed to be the most vile thing that could possibly happen to anyone.
That always almost reminds me like that parasite that infects your brain and makes you kill yourself, basically. Just like it's something that level of natural cruelty.
The natural world. That's exactly what you think of. And you think, geez, Boba Fett might have done some vile things, but I don't think he quite deserved that.
Well, if you look into the extended universe, you'll know that 7 years later, Boba Fett actually escaped the Sarlacc pit, and that's all
I'm going to bring it back to Wonderland. Boba Fett
raped his mother. Actually, Boba Fett was a child molester. And I don't know, but whatever. Right? Based on what I know about Boba Fett,
to call back to our first Wonderland episode, it's complicated.
It's complicated.
Right.
No, but that was cool having the Star Wars reference. Yeah, I'm sure it was probably just a matter of the writers feeling they could throw that in there subtly without Disney getting too upset. But on the other hand, maybe someday we'll get Darth Vader in Storybrooke. Maybe.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Well, you know who I think would be a good Storybrooke? Yoda. If you're going to have any, Yoda. It's
going to
be Yoda.
A scene between Rumpelstiltskin and Yoda. Sign me up. I will sell all three of my children to make that happen.
Oh my gosh.
Sell them right away. Cheap, too. Real cheap.
Right.
Well, the caterpillars
are already kind of like Jabba the Hutt.
Oh yeah, the caterpillar was definitely had some Jabba the Hutt stuff going on there. Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't have a band playing when they walked in, though. Just a bunch of really messed up people.
Yeah.
Right. Wearing weird masks and stuff,
Okay, and Amory, you had one point to close it out.
There was a lot of parallels with Once this week. How the Knave seems to sort of be on a little path to redemption, hence he burnt the knot instead of turning it in, which would have been for himself, making him a thief. The phrase, all magic comes with a price. But that came from Robin Hood, so it kind of makes me – it just sort of, timelines.
Well, didn't somebody else said that too, didn't they?
I think last week.
Jafar did. Jafar said that.
Yes, Jafar said that.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's just a lot of – I guess that's obviously an understood throughout all of the realms that magic comes with a price.
Yeah, that was one of my notes too. They said it! Exclamation.
They said it! Magic!
All magic comes with a price, dearie.
but also the excessive amount of making deals and making deals to counteract deals. And there's just a lot of that. Like, who knows? Maybe we'll have Rumpel in a couple of weeks when he gets back from Neverland.
But I mean, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing so hard. It's just you've got this picture in my head of like the character actually breaking the fourth wall and like, you know, like looking right at the camera, you know, all magic comes with a price, you know, in the wink, you know, the old Superman wink, you know, the people at home, they said it. Well, who knows what will happen? Once upon a time, they said it.
Dun 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 dun. Yeah!
Right. They do a little dance, you know? I'm sorry, I got off track.
No, that's the name of the game, off track. That's how we run these episodes generally. But to bring us back on track, I will close out this discussion of this episode like I always do and come up with a completely arbitrary scale to judge the episode on. Now, out of 6 Disco Opium Dens, Anne-Marie, how many Disco Opium Dens do you give this episode?
I'm going to give it 4.5 Opium Dens.
Why? Disco Opium Dens.
Disco Opium Dens, 4.75. No, I thought it was a really good episode. I liked seeing lots of progression and the such. And I don't know. There was a lot going on, but I wanted to see more. I don't know. I picked it. How many Opium Dens, Disco Opium Dens are you giving it?
Well, let's ask JG first. JG, out of 6 Disco Opium Dens, how many Disco Opium Dens do you give this episode?
I'd probably give this episode 4.75 Disco Opium Dens.
Mm-hmm. So I get
those more platform shoes.
So, and what is your justification, sir?
Well, it's the best one yet. I think that I had actually said when I was on the Facebook in one of your threads that right off the bat, the first episode, it was good, but I was expecting great.
Okay? Yes.
And I think that we're getting to the point now where it's on the road to becoming great. I just hope it's not too little too late with viewership.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And we'll be discussing that in a moment, too. And to close things out, I'll give my Disco Opium Den rating here. And I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Really?
Well, my ratings are affected by the series as a whole up to this point. And obviously, the very best episode of the series. Also, it was Knave. And I'm a huge fan of the actor from the UK Being Human. So anything with the Knave gets my 4 thumbs up because I have 4 hands, not 2, like a normal.
Impressive. That'll do it. That'll do it.
Wonderland.
So, okay, well, I guess that ends our episode discussion. So, as always, it's time to thank Audible because they sponsored the show. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Audible, for having me. It's been wonderful. Was that good?
Wonderful.
That
was very cool. And for you, the listeners of Greetings from Wonderland, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out some of their services. Now, if you don't know Audible, they provide audiobooks. You sign up for a membership. You get, you know, 1 or 2 credits a month, depending on the membership you sign up for. And you just make a wish list of all the audiobooks you want to catch up on. And then when you're in the car, on the treadmill, walking through Wonderland, trying to find the Caterpillar's Disco, Opium Disco Hideaway, catch up on your reading. Listen to these audiobooks. And as always, we like to give a recommendation. Anne-Marie, why don't you go first with yours?
This week, as I've been trying to do the whole season, I'm trying to do something that's a little, you know, with the show. And I came up with Will in Scarlet by Matthew Cody. Mm-hmm. It's, from what I can tell, the little bits that I heard should be giving the Will Scarlet character's perspective of the whole Robin Hood shenanigans. So that might help give somebody some backstory to help us out a little.
And this week, for my recommendation, I'm going to do something very unusual. I'm going to say my recommendation. And then JG, I'm going to ask you to explain it and explain why the people who like Once Upon a Time might like it. Okay. My recommendation this week is The Gunslinger by Stephen King. Go ahead, JG.
Oh boy. Oh boy. That's a different podcast altogether. that's The Gunslinger by Stephen King is part one of a 7-part series called The Dark Tower. And it's the Gunslinger is my favorite character in any form of literature or film or anything else. And I think that fans of Once Upon a Time would enjoy this show because of the traveling between worlds idea, the idea that magic comes with a price theory. It does in this world as well. The fighting of monsters, the different uses of technology versus magic, the reason versus belief kind of thing. It's a great story, and I think that just like Wonderland, it's the story of the epic quest. This main character, this gunslinger Roland, is seeking a dark tower, and I think that most people that like these types of stories, The Lord of the Rings, etc., the idea of the epic quest is something that draws us all in. So I highly recommend that story to anyone.
Oh, definitely. And, like you were saying, if you like world hopping, if you like the melding of many different story worlds, if you like adventure, Dark Tower is a great series. It's one of JG's favorites, I know, because I used to be his roommate. You start out with the Gunslinger on that one. And then it goes through a bunch of stuff. Wizards and Glass, Wolves of the Calla, the whole there's a billion books.
There's a lot of connections to other stories, Marvel Comics, The Wizard of Oz, etc. So
also anything Stephen King's written is pretty much connected to the Dark Tower too.
Pretty much, yep.
Yeah, so if you want to pick up that one, Anne-Marie's recommendation, or any other audiobook to try it out, you can download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Again, that's audibletrial.com/storybrooke. And you can go there for your free audiobook. And we want to thank Audible again for sponsoring week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland/storybrooke when we go back to regular episodes. And now, on to the news. News. Okay, so first off, JG, we'll give you a minute to finish laughing. Go ahead. Continue.
I'm good.
Please,
I'm good.
Laugh at us. Please.
I'm biting my hand now so I don't laugh. I'm good.
Okay, first off, we'll start with the ratings, which,
not so good.
Not great.
Not so good at all.
You know what? Actually, we're going to ignore the ratings and just say that things are worse than they've ever been and they don't look really all that good. And
they may have been the lowest for the entire night.
Yeah. Just not good. We're not going to mention numbers, but we will mention this story that we missed last week about something else. Anne-Marie, you want to take that?
You want me to take it?
Yeah, go ahead and take it. It hurts me too much.
I know. TV by the numbers, where we tend to get a lot of our ratings, which is why I'm confused we didn't see this article, has a listing of shows that are likely to get canceled. And unfortunately, the title of this article is Once Upon a Time in Wonderland is likely to be canceled. Like, they straight up, there's many other shows mentioned in said article, and they chose Wonderland to pick on for the title.
Yeah, which is weird. They didn't pick Trophy Wife, Betrayal, or The Neighbors, all of which have a lower rating here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Slightly.
Very slightly. Who knows? We may have been on the border for that. But what they do is they rated by and listed shows by either canceled, one sad face, two sad faces, three neutral faces, or four or five happy faces.
Uh-huh.
There's one show already canceled, Lucky Seven. I've never even heard of it.
It was about the lottery winners. I was going to watch it, but I saw the commercial and I told my wife, that show won't make it 2 weeks. And I think it made it three.
Then they have The Neighbors, Betrayal, and Trophy Wife, who have one very sad, angry face, according to the graphic. And next
animated GIFs.
There's a lot of GIFs. Yeah, a lot of GIFs, whatever. But then, unfortunately, Wonderland has two sad faces.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this rate says, there's it's 23% below the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
Below the premiere of a canceled show. We did less, like, it had worse ratings than a show that's canceled.
Well, I think a part of the problem is on poor time slot. You're competing with the most popular comedy on television at 8 o'clock, and a very good show at that. I know that it's always tears me which one to watch, and I always watch Wonderland because I know it's most likely to be spoiled. You know, so it's you know, and a lot of people don't like that show at 8 on a rival network, but I really, really do.
I enjoy it as well.
And most people that are into things like Wonderland tend to like this same comedy. So I think that it was a very poor decision on ABC's part to go ahead with that show. You know, especially with a show that they plan to tell one continuous and ending story, one beginning, middle, and ending story in one season. So I don't know why you would do that. I would pick a night where there's not much going on, you know?
See,
I
mean,
see, the time slot's a problem. Another problem is they did the pilot and then the rest of the series separated by so much time and, you know, production decisions and things like that, that it just feels like two completely separate series almost.
Right, and wasn't it originally supposed to take the place of the downtime of Once Upon a Time? So I actually was expecting it to be a summer series.
Which would have been a better option, I think.
It was also supposed to be shorter, too. It was supposed to be, like 5 or 6 episodes, right?
It was initially got something like that. Then it was up to, like, a solid 13, which can still be, you know, that's okay. That's not a long season by any stretch.
Yeah, that's a half season.
It's a long British season, but not American. And then they went back and it seems like they asked for more episodes, or maybe they downed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they went back because now it's undisclosed how many episodes there will be.
Yeah, because I was trying to line up guests for this podcast. I was trying to go through and see when the air dates were to confirm to try and get a couple more people lined up. And they don't have them yet.
The only thing they have on IMDb is through episode 5.
Mm-hmm. But see,
those don't even have much confirmation other than air dates.
But my argument here is that they already have a sunk cost in this. They've already, you know, they've already built the infrastructure to make these episodes.
They've invested too much.
Yeah, they've likely already produced most of the episodes, and they have a built-in audience to buy the DVDs when the DVDs come out.
Not a lot of the oncers seem to be liking Wonderland.
But, you know, I bet you every single oncer out there is going to sit down and marathon it once it's done.
Yep. Possibly.
I guarantee. Especially if a character like
if they have a crossover
or Alice or someone comes over to the main series, or Jafar comes over to the main series, I guarantee you everyone's going
to
marathon it next summer when
to
we don't
catch up.
Yeah.
They're going to catch up.
And it's the type of show, too. You know, when you have a spinoff show like this, what you have is there are going to be a lot of casual fans out there that say, oh, Once Upon a Time, sweet. They turn it on. They don't see Prince Charming. They don't see Rumpelstiltskin. So they're like, well, what is this garbage? You know, and, you know, that's really a mentality. Not everyone out there is a fanboy or girl like we are.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so you have a lot of people out there that really like Once Upon a Time, and they see that title, and they and they go, wow, you know, more adventures of my favorite heroes, and they turn it on, and it's not them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that a lot of people just don't do their homework things, and they don't go into them with an open mind.
You know, see, I'm so confused here, too, because, you know, right after this article was released, they officially announced that Whoopi Goldberg has been cast as Mrs. Rabbit.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah, pretty much.
So exciting. Like, they have some big names on this show for being a spinoff TV show.
Mm-hmm.
There were some really big, like, getting Whoopi Goldberg, having John Lithgow.
To be fair, though, is Whoopi Goldberg really that big of a name these days?
She's not, but she's pretty, I mean, she's very well known.
She is very well known.
I know it's not.
She's on The View and everything.
Is she still on The View?
I think so, yeah.
I haven't watched The View in like 10 years.
If The View is still around, I think she's still on it. I don't know, though, because I'm not in the demographic for The View.
No, you're not.
Yeah, like I mentioned earlier that I'm I'm older now and it's the Facebook, but I'm not an old woman. No offense to ladies out there. And, and by the way, The Talk is such a better show.
Nice.
I hear a lot of people like The Doctors. I don't know.
Yeah, but and like I was saying earlier, that might give some more indication that
Well, I don't think they plan on canceling it before the 8th episode then, because she's
Is that when Whoopi comes in?
Yeah, that's what I was just like reading with a fine tooth comb that she's
well,
supposed to
Well, forgive me for
hear.
This, but Whoopi.
So that yeah, should at least get us through Christmas. Mm-hmm. Item or close to Christmas.
Yeah, but see, and that's what I'm saying too. It's such a sunk cost at this point. They've paid for Whoopi Goldberg to go to a voiceover booth for 10 minutes, you know. So,
hey, right. They've spent a lot of time on the rabbit. He's got some details here in this picture, minus his really red eyes. They're creepy.
I think worst case scenario, what's going to happen?
He looks like he's been partying all night.
Yes, he was down in the opium den.
He looks like he's been down in the disco opium den. Opium den. Yeah.
No, but I think worst case scenario, what's going to happen is they'll cut airing the series short, or they'll like do it all in one night, like air the rest of the episodes in one night, and we'll get like a quick DVD release. I think that's the worst case scenario. I don't think there's a world where we don't get at least 13 episodes of Wonderland by the time it's all said and done. So.
Because that was the original call, too. I think
this is true.
Or one of the original calls.
But okay, so and lastly here, we have the preview for next week. Now this way, Anne-Marie, what would you like to say about the preview for next
week? I'd have to watch it again.
I know you'd have to pull it up again. I was actually trying to buy some time while I pulled it up. Oh, Jafar stabs someone in the hand. Alice is running through the woods. And there's also the genie in the cage, and the knave's about to get his head chopped off.
Oh, that's right. Off with his head.
Yeah.
We finally get off with his head.
We get an off with his head moment. And also it appears that they said it. You know
that's
how
the best great... part about fairy tale stuff is that you have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot.
Exactly.
You know what the
fun.
Worst thing about doing these special Wonderland episodes is we decided at the beginning to do set episode titles, Alice versus something, and we have so many great things said during the episode, like They Said It or Disco Opium Den. There would be great episode titles that we can't use because we made that stupid, stupid, stupid decision.
Well, you made that stupid, stupid decision. Couldn't we call it Alice versus the Disco Opium Den?
Hey, rules are meant to be broken, my friend.
Actually, you know what? I think we will call it Alice. I'm going to change it in the doc right now.
Do it. Make it happen.
Disco...
Are we still recording?
We are still recording.
Okay, while he does that, let me just remind everyone there's no episode next week.
There is no
Halloween.
Week.
Go, take your kids, dress up like a character, get some candy.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And also, all the stories we discussed are available in the show notes at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. We should mention, we are all loosey-goosey, and I'm loving it, guys.
It's fantastic. I blame
the it's a good one.
It is. It's
a good one.
So now we're going to go ahead and move on to listener questions and feedback. As always, and we appreciate it when you email us right after the episode ends.
After the episode, not our episode.
Yes.
After the television episode.
After the television episode.
We feel there's been some confusion on this.
But you can email us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. You can contact us on Twitter. We're at GF Storybrooke over there. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke, or you can leave us a voicemail, which is our absolute favorite at 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And speaking of voicemails, we have one from Robert, which I'm going to play right now.
Hey guys, Robert again. Holy crap, Forget Me Not was such a great episode of Wonderland. I was just like, holy crap, the knave is Will Scarlet. Holy crap, the caterpillar is like Jabba the Hutt. Holy crap, they mentioned the Sarlacc. Holy crap, Anastasia is the Red Queen. Holy crap, holy crap. That was such a great episode. See you guys.
Holy crap, Robert. You really loved this episode, didn't you?
I think he did. I think he did.
I think he was very much impressed. Thank you, Robert, by the way, for calling in and leaving that voicemail. Again, if you want to leave a voicemail, 424-274-2352. And to wrap it up, I believe we have a letter from our guest last week, Wynn, if you want to read that, Anne-Marie.
I got you. I just can't think of much to say about this one. Wynn, how could you not have anything to say about this one?
By the way, anyway, she can't think of anything to say, and then she writes.
She goes on for two paragraphs. Yeah. Nothing wrong with it. Better than the previous ones. A little too much Jabba the Hutt in the caterpillar for my taste. Mm-hmm. The main thing that stands out to me in Wonderland so far is the large population of characters who are not from that world. Jafar, Cyrus, Grendel, the Knave, and Anastasia, a.k.a. the Red Queen, and of course, Alice. Maybe no one is a native, and Wonderland is just like Cheers, where everybody knows your name and they're glad or sad you came.
Love that.
Definitely. That.
And yeah, it definitely feels like that there aren't very many characters native to Wonderland, so I wonder if that's going to come into play. Something they did know about Wonderland before going through the mirror was they said specifically that it was a land that was full of magic, which I believe that came up on the show last week. We were speculating, and we thought that or I forget if it was a letter or one of us said it, that basically, you know, it's just a land of magic.
It's
all
just
the
magic.
Is Wonderland, you know?
Yes, because of the fairies.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like, he it's like also says, oh, sorry, Mary.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he also says before they jump through the portal that Wonderland is a place where you can be whatever you want to be, anything you want. Right. So it's almost like, you know, throughout the multiverse, people were like, they found this portal and maybe Wonderland just started out as a magical slate. Mm-hmm. And it became, you know, formed from the dreams of the people that found their way there. Who knows?
And we've been speculating over on the main show that, you know, maybe Neverland was the source of all magic. Maybe it could be Wonderland. Who knows? Maybe that's what the tie-in's going to be, because we know there's a tie-in coming, like a major tie-in coming. It's just a matter of when and who and how.
Right.
So
especially because I believe they get out of Neverland in the next couple episodes.
Oh, do they?
I believe so. I
actually kind of hope they do, just because I miss the Storybrooke characters.
I need some Belle for Mayor. Anyway.
There is a whole episode coming where they pick up right when the pirate ship left Storybrooke, which is
Swanfire. Sorry.
Okay. Well, if you're interested in listening to us dish about the main series, as always, you can catch those episodes over at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com, or if you search on iTunes, the main podcast is Greetings from Storybrooke. I don't know how many people are coming over through the Greetings from Wonderland feed. I know our numbers on the Wonderland episodes are up from normal. So I guess
that's good.
Are. So what, you know, once
somebody's doing good in the ratings.
But, you know, if you enjoy the show and you want to listen to us talk about the main series too, Greetings from Storybrooke. Greetingsfromstorybrooke.com is the website. And if you want to email us, greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. Now, Emery, where can people find you at?
You can find me on the Twitters, similar to the Facebook, but much shorter. And I am at AMDSimone.
And you can find me over there. I'm at Bill Meeks. I'm also putting out an audiobook of my first novel that's going to be released around mid-December called Dog Boy, Den of Thieves. I got the cover art back this week. It's amazing. You're going to love it. But you can get that at dogboyadventures.com. And JG, where do you teach at? No, I'm kidding. You don't have to say where you
Don't do that. That's unsafe.
JG, do you have any closing thoughts for the crowd? Because I know you don't have a Twitter to promote or anything like that.
I just use the Facebook. The Twitter is a little too newfangled for me. but I'd say my closing thoughts are, this is a lot of fun. I really like listening to the podcast. I've loved participating in it. I'd love to do it again, particularly with the main series. If you ever need another guest sometime. And
spoiler
really,
party. Be on a spoiler party with us.
Definitely.
Cool. Yeah. And it was just really great to, you know, talk to, you know, people I've known from back in the day. Bill was my roommate in college. We had a lot of adventures, our very own Wonderland, you know, so it's been great catching up and talking about this show. It's been awesome.
Definitely. Me and JG, totes bros from back in the day. So
you really totes again. I have to pull that word from your vocabulary.
JG, I do want to say, you know, it was just a pleasure to get to talk to you both times today. And we will definitely have you back on at the soonest available opportunity. And I need to figure out some way for us to get a podcast together. Just the two of us, just so we have an excuse to talk more often.
Yeah, that'd be great. We're pretty geeky. Mm-hmm. So we have stuff to
talk. Definitely. All right. Well, I guess that about wraps it up for us. Even longer than our first Wonderland episode, Anne-Marie.
Woohoo!
But I guess until next time. Greetings from Missouriland, Brooke Place.
Story Wonder.
Neverland.
Yes. Ah, Neverland. Excellent.